Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, joins us. Courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, the Broncos are looking at 3-0 for the first time since, 2016, I think, right after the Super Bowl started 4-0. Yeah, wheels kind of came off at the back stretch of that season. But look, we haven't talked to you since the previous game. Broncos are 2-0, feeling pretty good. What's the vibe over there?
By the way, I think Cortland Sutton's okay. Based on the last time we talked, right? I mean, you had him in a full body cast after watching a video, and he.
Well, he's still limping though. I mean, the announcers talked about it. I'm not sold that he's 100% just quite yet with that knee. And I think by the end of the year, Mike. Seriously, I think by the end of the year, he'll say, you know, he wasn't quite there yet early in the season, and he'll say, I feel so much better now. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. He,
but he played great.
It's the same. It's like sandbagging, you know. You limp around in practice, and then boom, you beat their secondary on a couple deep balls.
It's the rope-a-dope, Mike. The old rope-a-dope, Ali rope-a-dope.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, we're good. The the Broncos. It's funny they've been winning for a while now. It started in the preseason, and they're. You know, we're all wondering about the preseason because the Vikings didn't play anybody. They didn't play their starters. Seattle didn't. The Rams didn't. And the Broncos just took care of business and won. Now they're opening the season and they're not playing anybody. They play a bad Giants team. It appears a bad Jacksonville team, now a bad Jets team. It's going to be interesting when they do play Baltimore. That'll be a big test. But the key guys, put that 3-0 in the bank. And then see what you got. You know, if you got a 3-0 head start and then, the schedule starts leveling off and toughens quite a bit, it's nice to have that 3-0 put away. And, you go 7-7 the rest of the year, you're probably a playoff team, I would think. 10-7, I think that might be that might be the last playoff spot. It's encouraging. All the Broncos, the sense is it's encouraging. You know, on the outside, there's worry about all the injuries that have propped up. If you have a quarter, it just goes to show you, if you have good quarterback play, you can overcome great things.
Yeah, Mike, and the good thing so far is, three of these four guys that are injured right now should be coming back at some point this season. So it's not like last year where it was a lot of IR guys. So that's one positive here that hopefully they can keep this up and then, get some reinforcements later on in the year. That'd be nice. Give us an update on one of those injuries, the Bradley Chubb surgery.
Yeah, from what I understood, they were ecstatic that the scope, that they're able to get the bone spur with the scope. There was a little concern that the scope wouldn't be enough to get that bone spur, and that would have been a bigger surgery and a greater recovery time. So the scope, they were able to get the bone spur. They got it out of there. So that's why, Fangio, to use his words, it was a roaring success, and he's out 6 to 8 weeks, which shows you, that the type of injury it is, that a roaring success is 6 to 8 weeks out. But it could have been worse from what I understand. So they were able to get that, and Josie Jewell got his pec repaired, from what I understand, in surgery this morning. So, but he won't come back this year. They wound up picking up Aaron Patrick, an edge rusher, a raw edge rusher who can play special teams. George Payton really works that back end of the roster. I've never seen a guy work it like that. And, they're all special teams guys who have potential upside, aren't ready yet, but potential upside. to help on you know, on the base defense and base offense. So he's filling holes the best he can. Got to keep it together, and as long as Teddy Bridgewater keeps playing well, they should be okay, 3-0, and see what they do against the Ravens team, who, by the way, they're not going to give the Broncos any sympathy about injuries. They're pretty banged up too. So Broncos, you know, it could be one of those magical seasons. We'll have to see.
Yeah, it's off to a good start. Can't be better than two road wins. I mean, you're 2-0 and haven't played a home game yet. I mean, that's pretty good.
They got nine of them this year.
Right.
Yeah.
How concerning is the Jewel injury? Because, you know, coming into this season, if we were going to try to isolate, we all kind of agree that this was a good roster. But if you were forced to isolate something that was I don't want to say like the weakest link, because that's maybe too dismissive, but had the most to be desired, it was the inside linebacker spot, right? Yeah. There with maybe one or two other position groups. So within that, you have this season-long injury. Are you feeling that this could rear its ugly head repeatedly through the season here with the inside linebacker spot?
Well, they like Justin Sternad. Josie Jewell was at the peak of his game. You know, he was really getting into a flow. He was alert. He anticipated. He was making plays. He actually, you know, I went back and watched that game. He played very well for a quarter and a half.
He did.
The play he got hurt on, it was a one-handed tackle, and it was unfortunate. That's why he tore the pec. He stopped that guy dead in his track with one arm. And the pec... the pec snapped. It didn't give. But he was rushing the passer. He was covering from sideline to sideline. He's not fast, but he anticipated. He had it, you know, he was a step and a half moving in the right direction, while another guy who might have been faster would have been flat footed. So that's what Jewel had going for him. Sternad is, you know, he's not going to have those instincts. He's not going to pick up those keys and anticipate as quickly as Josie Jewell did, but he's longer and he's faster, and the more he plays, he will pick up on all that kind of stuff. But he's going to be the starter going forward. And then Micah Kizer is he's a smart guy, and he's going to be a plug and play guy if they need him. He may play this week on special teams. In fact, I think he will. And then maybe next week if they need him, he can go in the base defense, because He played full time and started 9 games last year for Brandon Staley. So he knows the defense already, and he should already be picking up his keys and all that kind of stuff that the inside linebackers have to. So they should be okay there. And, you know, you never know on injuries. Cornerback got hit a little bit with Ojemudia and Darby. They're okay so far. Ojemudia should be coming back in a couple weeks. Asang Bassey is still out there, remember, and he could be coming back, here in about another month or so. So, like you say, these guys are coming back, and all teams kind of are going through this. There's 5 or 6 that are going through this. The Broncos are able to survive because they're better players, with the exception of maybe Judy. They're better players are staying healthy.
Yep. Hopefully that stays the case, Mike. Appreciate your time, and we will catch up with you this time next week.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. See you guys.
All right. There was Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. He came in here and tried to get a W out the gate, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He tried to take it. I don't know if he was coming at us, what. But you know, I didn't want to get into it because, you know, he was just rambling for so long anyway. So I just, but I mean, like, at the same time, I'm like he was limping. Like, we were just talking about what we saw. He was limping. So that's, and then the announcers during the game brought it up.
Correct.
So we never said he couldn't go out and play and perform.
That's right.
But he's just not completely healthy right now. That's it. But he can still play, and he performed and had a great game. Hopefully he continues it. I mean, but to think that he's completely healthy, that's not the case.
All right. You know who is healthy, unlike last year? Von Miller, and he is off to a torrid pace getting after the quarterback. We'll hear from the franchise all-time leading sack artist in this franchise history, Von Miller, coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Von Miller's off to a great start to his 2021 campaign. Three sacks in two games. This is Von Miller at the podium.
Von, have you had a chance to talk to Bradley, and what have your conversations with him been like? I know he's frustrated, kind of getting another setback here.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's frustrated. That's just part of the game, you know. That's just part of the game, and, you know, his mindset is whatever they say, the time that he has to sit out, you know, he's trying to cut that in half. And, you know, just like all of us, you know, I was saying the same thing last year. You know, I was trying to come back, and that's just the true that's just the true spirit of a true competitor. You know, he wants to get back here. He wants to be here. He tried to play through, you know, this bone spur, and this injury that he had in his ankle was worse than the injury that he had in his other ankle. And he still played through it. He still gave it a go. And, you know, he's a true gladiator. He's a true warrior. And, you know, now he just has to, you know, rest up and, you know, get back here as soon as he can.
As a friend and teammate, how much of a bummer was it to see him try that bar and not decide on
it? Yeah, it was a bummer. We spent like every day together, like doing like rehab stuff, doing like extra stuff to like, you know, get back. Me being, 11 years in the league is all type of stuff that, you know, I know how to do to like, you know, help out. And he tried all of that stuff and, you know, it still didn't work. So it was definitely a bummer. But, you know, that's my friend and that's my brother. Even after football, and I was with him and I saw everything that he did. He actually, you know, he did try everything he could possibly do and it still didn't work out. So, you know, just have to, you know, get back. You know, he got the operation yesterday and he just got to, you know, get back and, you know, work on it. I think the main thing is really the mindset. You know, you can't really, like, just let go of football like that. I don't think he will. I think he'll stay in tune. I think he'll keep his body in shape. And I think he'll be ready to go in about, you know, 5 to 6 weeks.
Back at Empower Field for the first time with full fans since 2019, since you played there. What are you expecting from that environment?
I expect it to be crazy. You know, I expect it to be ridiculous. I expect it to be like, you know, the glory days in like 2015, 2014. In 2013, all of those runs that we had, 2012, I expected it to be like that. You know, we were coming in, you know, 2-0. You know, Broncos country has seen the type of football that we played over the last 2 weeks. And now we're coming home. I expected it to be rowdy. I expected it to be crazy. You know, I expected it to be, you know, a great atmosphere to go play football.
Well, I think fans want Malik Reed to be the next Shaquille Barrett, both undrafted Mountain West guys. Do you see similarities at all between Malik and Shaq?
They had two totally different playing styles. You know, two totally different playing styles, but Malik has definitely, Malik has done everything to show people that he's a starter, you know, in this league. I think this is his third year. This is his third year starting in the NFL. You know, he's played a lot of football. He started a lot of games. You know, he has started a lot of games this year for us. He started a lot of games last year, and he started a lot of games in 2019. So Malik's resume is crazy, just like Shaq's was. You know, he definitely has shown the whole National Football League that he's a starter in the National Football League, and that should pay off, you know, financially for him, you know, here in a year or two, maybe even after this year. So Malik has the full package. He can rush the passer. He can play the run. You know, he's like I said before, he's starting this league multiple times. He's a force. You gotta look for him whenever he's on the football field. And yeah, he's got a nice big payday coming just like Shaq.
You talked about before camp and then during camp, different mentality. You're not as tense. You're more free, letting the stats come to you, so to speak. And now you're off to a good start in the sack department. You think there's a connection there?
I think it's a connection because I really just don't look at the media as much. You know, I used to read all of y'all articles and stuff, and I think that kind of, you know, got me down a little bit, and it got me up at times when people would say good stuff. And, you know, now I really just don't worry about, you know, I control what I can control. You know, I do everything in my power to put the things that I watch. I'm not on Instagram. I might get on there and post a video, but then I just delete the app off my phone immediately. And I try to watch the things that I put into my body mentally and physically. I like to watch a lot of, you know, inspirational videos, motivational videos, things that would get me up instead of take away from who I am. you know, and not being on social media and not like reading articles and not like, you know, doing all these things that, you know, will probably feed into like the negative energy. I mean, I have an even mindset. It's really easy to be even every single day when you're just worried about, you know, winning, worried about being a great leader, worried about being a dad. And I just focus on those three things. And, you know, if sacks come, they come. If they don't, you know, they don't. I just go out there and I play my type of football. And I've worked so hard. I think, you know, in previous years, you know, I will always work. But these last couple of off seasons, I've just worked so hard that, like, when the game comes, when it's time to rush the passer, I just feel comfortable. I'm not really worried about who I'm going against or what team I'm going against. I just feel so comfortable with the type of, you know, the body that I have and the type of mindset that I have and the type of work that I put in, you know, each and every day. We're watching film with Coach Pegs, watching film with Malik and all the guys that whenever the game comes, I'm just ready for whatever. And I think that pays off as well.
All right. That was Vaughn. Anything stick out to you, Mr. Stokely?
I mean, he said a lot there. He said, hopefully we get Chubb back in 5-6 weeks. You know, I was thinking more like
6-8, 12,
you know, maybe, you know, 8-10, maybe. But we'll see, you know, just surgery just happened. So hopefully it's on the earlier side, but you're probably going to want to take all precautions and not rush it back. Certainly. Oh, what else did he say? What'd you gather from that? Anything?
You know, oddly,
not listening to the media anymore.
Well, yeah, it was our fault. I used to read what you guys wrote, and it'd get me up and get me down. No, I guess he's, you know, not paying attention, or he says he's not paying attention. You know, oddly enough, him not being on Instagram. Like, Vaughn used to live his life on Instagram. This is like 2 years ago. You'd be able to track Vaughn's movements because he'd have 35 posts in a day, like on his story. You could just follow his life if you wanted to. It seems like he's taking a big step back from that, which may be healthy. You know, like you get caught in that. You know, Instagram is very personal. It's you. Like it's you. And if you're living your life on it, I could see how that would be distracting. Maybe taking a step back as you get a little bit older.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay. All right. Today marks the start of a journey that will end one of two ways. And I'll explain coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Today marks the start of a journey that will end one of two ways.
Today. I mean, of a journey.
It's the first day getting my hamstring right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we teased into.
Yeah. Perfect. I mean, I felt like I could be a PT right now. I'm like, you know, I'm coaching. I'm showing you some exercises. You're gonna get that thing right. You're gonna be making layups before you know it. I don't know about dunking, but you'll be making layups.
Stoke, the Avalanche started training camp today.
I wasn't sure that's what I was going to go to. I didn't know if it was a nut because the Nuggets are starting up here soon too, right?
Yes, they are.
Is that
a media week? Is this week? Okay. The training camp, I believe, starts next week, and before you know it, it'll be preseason games. And next thing you know who they, you know who the Nuggets open up with?
No.
Suns.
Suns and four.
National TV. Game number one.
Where?
Phoenix.
Cool. Yep. Love it.
Yep, should be good.
That was a bad matchup for them last year.
It was.
They just weren't ready for that.
And they were spent. From the time the Jamal Murray injury happened, it felt like the Nuggets were in playoff mode.
Yeah, but I'm not going. I'm not giving the old freebie. I know you want to give orange slices and all that, but I'm not going to let you.
I'm just telling you what
spent.
My eyes told me in that second round series they were just dead.
My eyes told me they just got whipped by a better team that was playing at a higher level.
The Suns were better.
They made them look like they were spent. How about that?
Okay, there we go.
But anyway, hey, it's been two disappointing finishes for the Avs.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago.
Yep.
I mean, losing that last game there, I forgot who it was against, but how they lost it, and like, it was just bad puck. Extremely bad puck. Like, I don't, you know, just giving the puck away there, with the lead there in the third. And then last year, up 2-0, looked like you're going to win. I think it was game three. You had it, had the lead, and just gave it away, and then never could recover. But, so haven't been able to get over that hurdle and take that next step. Hopefully this is the year, man. Hopefully it happens. Change it goalie.
Yes.
Right? Grew yes. out. We got who's coming in here?
Darcy Kemper.
Darcy! Let's go!
A man named Darcy.
I love it. But I'm excited, and hopefully they make that run.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, the game that you referenced, that was in overtime, a game seven overtime loss to Dallas. Last year, it was to Vegas. And it looked like the Avs had control early in that series. And then it was a really, really, really bad week.
Dominated the first two games.
They did. And then just, I mean.
Fell apart.
It totally flipped. It looked like Vegas had the answers to the test. But I'm looking at the Superbook odds for Stanley Cup winners. The Avs are 5-1, the number one mark in professional hockey, tied with Vegas. For that odds-on favorite, followed by Tampa Bay. We know that Avs lost in six games last season in the second round. Like you said, Philip Grubauer, he's now in Seattle with the Kraken.
The Kraken.
Brandon Saad, you know, another mainstay. Well, he's with the Blues now. Jonas Donskoy.
Jonas.
He got
Where'd
drafted.
Where'd he be?
He's with the Kraken as well there.
Okay.
He got picked up in the expansion draft, I want to say. Ryan Graves. He's with the Devils now. Connor Timmins, he's with the Coyotes. So, you know, a lot of turnover. There's some new, young blood that's going to be injected into this lineup.
Dave's back.
Yep, that's right. Kale's locked up.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned a second ago the Avs did trade for Darcy Kemper. I don't think there's going to be, and Grubauer was great last year. I don't think there's going to be any major drop-off in between the pipes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm getting some pushback here. Stokely, you are from a swamp. How do you know what good puck is? Well, do your research, buddy. The Ice Gators, okay? The Ice Gators. Chomp, chomp, chomp. I was there at the Cajun Dome. Ice Gators. We had hockey down south.
That is a hilarious name for a hockey team.
Yeah.
The Ice Gators.
The Louisiana Ice Gators.
Only in Louisiana would they name the hockey team the Ice Gators.
Yeah. Yeah. That was them, man. They were a hit for a while.
The Denver football players.
Yeah.
Like the Denver football players. Like what? Well, in Louisiana.
That's right.
Jared Bednar.
Everything's a little bit different.
Jared Bednar shared how excited he and the team are to get back out on the ice.
Well, we're excited for this season. Again, it's another opportunity for us to achieve our goal. And last year's playoff stings a little bit, and we'll use that as motivation. As far as all of our guys, we're pretty much healthy and ready to go. We've got Taves, who obviously had off-season surgery. We'll miss some time here at the start of the season. And besides that, guys are healthy and back at it. Even the likes of Francouz and Johnson, Byram, some of the guys that were going through some injury troubles last year and that missed a significant amount of time are all back and healthy and ready to go.
Zach, it's the Ice Gators.
Oh, the Ice Gators.
Why
don't you correct me then?
Because I didn't know what the heck you were talking about. You say a lot of things that are nonsense that I just like got to roll with and like, yeah. And it's like I don't really know what this guy is like. I was going to correct you, but then God. I just like let this guy just be wrong.
We've
again.
Actually did this before at some point. We actually had this. I don't know if this is incredible deja vu right now, but I'm pretty sure we had this exact conversation and I misunderstood your Ice Gators
and
Ice Skaters.
Yes.
The Ice Gators.
See, we're not
chomp,
as weird as you think down there.
Chomp.
Hey, you know who Bednar sounded like? You talking about how excited he was?
Pat Shermer.
No. Broncos country after Mark Slayer told us we were going to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
organic, man. That's farm to table right there.
Yeah, that's it, baby. Appreciate the support on the RamosLaw.com text line. Appreciate y'all keeping us accountable. We need y'all.
Oh, my God.
Big part of this team. Mark Slayer told us.
Man.
Draft night.
It was draft night.
It was almost a done deal.
It was supposed to happen. Could you imagine the spread this weekend if Rodgers was the quarterback at home?
30. But we got Teddy covers, and he's covered both weeks, and he'll cover again. That's just Teddy just covers.
It's incredible. It's incredible. His record as a, and I had this saved in the draft last week. I should have fired this off. Teddy Bridgewater, after last week, all right, is now, as a starter on the road, is now, this is insane, as a starting quarterback on the road against the spread, 23-3.
Oof.
Are you kidding me?
That's mind-blowing.
23-3. Take that for data.
Teddy covers. 2-0 this year.
Crazy. All right. You want to hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line? You can do that, 303-713-1043. Any other? Okay, yeah, we covered that. All right. Stoke. We got a final segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We got Thursday Night Football. Mike, get your prediction on tonight's game.
Okay.
But first, does the NFL have a problem in one particular category after the first 2 weeks of football? What is it, and will we see a correction? I want to bounce it off you coming up next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Does the NFL have a problem in one particular category after the first 2 weeks of football? What is it, and will we see a correction? You know, the first 2 weeks of NFL football have been great, man. It's been a riot, to be totally honest with you. In my opinion, week one was absurd. The amount of upsets. We saw the most underdogs win outright in any week in the modern era. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. From the Eagles upset in Atlanta and that thriller Thursday night game to kick off the season, what the Steelers did to Buffalo, and da da da. It went on and on. Week two, maybe a little less absurd as week one, but still a lot of good football. A lot of good football. So the NFL season's off to a good start, I think. The ratings are terrific. But when it comes to a problem that the league might have, call it a red flag. All right. It's about the NFL officials.
Yeah. They've been bad.
Through 17 weeks of 2020, so all of last season, the entirety of the regular season last year, there was never a weekend where there was 200 penalties. Not in any week last year. All right. The high was week two last year with 198 penalties. This season, officials assessed 214 penalties week one and 221 penalties in week two. Have you noticed?
Yeah. You know, last year we talked about they kind of ignored the holding penalty a little bit, and they were just letting them play a little bit more.
And it looks like, by the way, it looks like when it comes to just holding, it looks like they're still letting them play.
Hopefully. And we'll see as we get more through the season and can get more information, you know, and see if that's true or not. But, you know, it's an issue because you want to see the players determine the game. And penalties, you got to call penalties, right? I mean, that's part of it. But at the same time, I think the problem is the refs don't really understand the game. They really don't understand the game. And it's not black or white. It's not like, you know, there's a little gray area there. And sometimes you got to understand the context of the play, and you just got to just look the other way. You know, these pass interference calls to me, those drive me nuts because they're such a huge, all of a sudden you go from third and 15 to, you know, you get 40 yards on a, pass interference call that's just like, well, that was ticky-tack call there. So things like that, you know, where I think they should let him play a little bit more. But it's not fun when you're getting a lot of stoppage and flags are all over the place. Saw that, and I was watching the Cowboys Chargers, and I mean, it seemed like every other play there's a flag being thrown. I mean, it's just like it takes the flow away from it. And
right.
It's like, oh my goodness, another flag? Another flag? Have you noticed?
Absolutely.
The taunting too, right? The taunting penalties?
The taunting sticks out to me. And it seems very, very unnecessary. Like, I understand you don't want guys like disrespecting each other, right? I get that. But guys showing emotion, some of these taunting penalties, I find it hard to believe that we're going to see them in 5-6 weeks. I just don't, like, the league has been, in some ways they're reactionary, in some ways they're the trendsetters. I think this one, they'll be reactionary because no one's winning here. No one. As a viewer, like, you're taking away and you're stopping the game as the teams don't like it, the players don't like it, the fans don't like it. I mean, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. I understand. Over the top, disrespect, you know, fingers in people's faces and doing, you know, like, I got it, throw the flag. Flexing after you just drag a guy 6 yards, I you know, that's
football.
Yeah,
they're gonna go over the top early on. But at the same time, as a player, this has been talked about to you. This has been emphasized to you. You have watched tape of this. You have had referees talk about this. Your coach has talked about this. It's a point of emphasis, guys. What does that mean? If you are close to possibly doing it, they're going to throw a flag on you. Okay?
Especially in the first quarter of the season.
Yes, it's not that difficult. So guess what? You can't even come close to making to letting a ref think that he can throw a flag for any kind of taunting. It's really that simple. Don't talk to the other guy. If you want to celebrate, that's fine. Turn towards the fans and flex, right? Turn to your bench and flex. Make sure it's away from the other guy. Like, things like that. So, to me, I almost say, you know, this is just the players not being smart. That's really what it is. Like, you want to show emotion, that's fine. Don't do it around the other guy. You can still show emotion because you know the NFL has told you it's a point of emphasis. NFL has told you that. So, guess what? They're going to throw flags if it's even close. So if you put yourself in that situation, shame on you. That's ridiculous. Broncos guy jawing last week on special teams after the punt. Guess what? Now you leave it to interpretation. Flag comes out. Should it have been called? No, come on. He wasn't even in the guy's face. He was just kind of jawing at him from a few yards away. But it's a point of emphasis, guys. You can't do it. That's the way I look at it.
Okay, that's certainly one a viewpoint, and I agree with most of what you said. There's just been some of the videos that I've seen that's just like, I just think it's gone too far.
Oh, it has, but that's what happens. You know, that's what happens when the NFL mandates these things.
That Chargers-Cowboys game that you referenced, you know how many penalties were thrown in that game, penalty flags?
50. Felt like it.
There was 20 flags, 20 accepted penalties.
Right.
That is 5 flags a quarter. That is brutal.
Yeah.
That is getting caught in Arapahoe Road when you're not synced up with the greens, and every 250 yards it's a red light.
Yeah.
There's no flow. There's no flow. I mean, think about it. They had nearly 2 football fields in penalties.
It was crazy watching that game. It really was. And then the refereeing was bad to begin with. I mean, they called the quarterback down. When the quarterback, Michael Parsons was just driving him backwards, about to tackle him.
They blew the play dead.
Well, the guy threw it, and then they called it after, like he was down. Yeah, and it was just some bad refereeing, and they're making things up as they go, and throwing flags all over the place. But the taunting rule is there. Hey, look, everybody. I mean, you know it. I guarantee every coach has talked to his team about it. Even more so now. Like, they're not playing around. And so if you can't control your emotions and celebrate with your teammates and talk to your teammates, and if you talk to the other team, you might get penalized. So guess what? Don't do it. Just don't do it. Is it ridiculous? Yes, it is ridiculous. I think it is also. But at the same time, you have to be responsible for your actions when you know that they're looking for this stuff this year. That's my whole view of it.
Someone on the RamosLaw.com text line says, anybody ever see Ed McCaffrey block in Super Bowl 32? What he did after the block? Nowadays, that would be a penalty. The NFL has become sickeningly soft. That's the old point down, you know, after he made the block, he kind of gave like a point down. He, you know, to that texter's point, he's right. That play would probably come back now.
Yeah, look, you can't point in guys' faces. I get it, right? I mean, at some point, you got to have a rule like the NFL does. Like, they can't just, oh, well, he wasn't really doing this or wasn't, you know, they are coming down hard with this rule. And that's just the way it is. You can't point at guys after you demolish them.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can't, you know, you can't point at guys after you burn them on a touchdown. I mean, it's just like, okay, that's the rules, man. Follow the rules or you're going to get penalized. It's pretty simple. I mean, I don't think it should be that difficult. But sometimes, yes, some of them are just like, come on, ref. Like, what are we doing here? Really? But they're being told by their bosses, if it's close or you see anything, throw the flag. And that's what they're doing.
Oh, man, I remember 2018.
Which one was that?
Broncos-Rams. Broncos at home. It was an even game. In fact, it was 6-0 at the time. Case Keenum down the left sideline to Emmanuel Sanders. It was called 44 yards, touchdown. But then they reviewed it, and in the end zone, Emmanuel was pointing in the DB's face. Like, just Emmanuel Sanders just pointing in his face. They review the play. The official review said, call was reversed. It's at the one. Now you throw a flag on top of that. It was just, and they couldn't get in the end zone. They had to kick a field goal and end up losing the game by 3. 23-20.
Well, they didn't throw the flag after the review.
No, the flag was already thrown because you can't review the penalty.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the flag was thrown.
Exactly.
And then now all of a sudden, yes,
now
you're right.
Like, oh, crap.
Yes.
No, now it's
right.
Not a touchdown and you got a personal foul.
Right. And so now you're at the 16. Now the Broncos had no chance to score.
Exactly. It was first and 10 at the 16 instead of on the one.
Yeah. That was the good old days, Zach.
That was living in a world of suck days.
Yeah.
That was driving between the yellows.
That's right. You know, what are they there for?
It's an emergency,
wow.
Right?
That's what you do. I mean, you need to use them sometimes. I mean,
where's the iPad today, Rich?
Wow. We don't have the sound?
They get to hit them with the play for the Broncos.
But right, I mean, look, at some point you have to accept responsibility for your actions on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so do you follow me on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know,
right now it's a point of emphasis. So
right.
Don't even, you know, give them a chance to throw it, because if you give them a chance to throw it, these guys are going to throw it on you right now.
Right.
So guys, hey, we can't even do that. You know, Kareem Jackson made a great play. He got up and flexed, but he flexed away from everybody.
Right.
You know, the other day when he made that tackle, mid-offensive lineman miss, what a great play. And, you know, he flexes, but just don't flex near a guy or at a guy.
Yeah.
That's it. You can still show emotion, but you can't do it looking at a guy or facing a guy. Pretty simple. I don't think it should be that difficult for guys to avoid them now.
The rules are in place. We know what it
is. Right.
It's KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. As I flex.
Kareem's
muscle reminds me of mine. It's got like a peak on it. You know what I mean?
I don't see it. No. Do you see it, Darren?
I do see it. Zach's actually got himself in pretty good shape recently.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to compare him to you, Stone.
I didn't bring you in to hear this nonsense, D-Max. I just left you on the bench.
I don't know, the 500 curls you did earlier today with nothing else, but.
Oh my God. You're supposed to have my back on that.
Why have you guys done a bicep measuring contest? You can put it to bed.
That sounds like a good idea.
You can put it to bed.
Sounds like a good idea.
I mean, what do you need?
I like that.
We know Zach's taller than you.
What are we comparing biceps now?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, Zach started flexing and I don't want
to compare quads with Stokes.
No, you don't want to do that.
Who's got a better calf game?
Richie learned his lesson on the quads.
That's right.
Tyler was pretty aggressive with his calf assertion.
I used to have great calves.
Yeah.
You know, growing up. But you know what had happened? When you pop your Achilles and then you tear your Liz Frank on your other foot, it really, you get shrinkage.
Yeah.
You get shrinkage.
Shrinkage isn't good.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
It's water, not good. Water's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shrinkage. Calf shrinkage.
Perfect place to end it.
Just other like stuff we drew shrinkage. It up. It's just not good.
Just like we drew it up.
Getting old sucks.
Stoke, have a great rest of your afternoon.
You too, buddy.
All right. Shout out Richie behind the glass.
Thanks for joining, Darren.
We're going to kick it into high gear tomorrow on a Football Friday at Blake Street Tavern.
Looking forward to that.
All right. We step aside. The drive is right now.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.